This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, bringing you a special episode with Emily Chung as we celebrate Father's Day this month. To those of you who have grown up in this industry, what are your most vivid memories? Was it helping change the oil on a car, washing cars, or how about even having to learn how to drive standard? Who taught you that? Now, whatever the task was, it's probably ingrained in your memory. Parents have a huge impact on our lives, and Emily Chung shares how her father, who owns a national wholesale auto parts business, shaped hers. Thanks to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for bringing you this great episode. Hey, did you hear that Apex 2021 is designating a brand new area called Repair Shop HQ? And it was done with you in mind. That's right, this one-stop destination is being designed to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of shop owners, managers, and technicians. It's all happening at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. I'll be there. Hope to see you there. Register now. Jump on the web at aapexshow.com. Digital communication makes it easy for your customers to understand the value that you're providing when you fix their car. You'll feel appreciated, your staff will feel appreciated, and most importantly, you'll sell the work to pay the bills. Please check out Shopware at getshopware.com. If you want to hear more from Emily Chung, just search her name on my website, remarkableresults.biz. She has an eye-opening episode titled, "The Woman Stereotype Creates Friction, Insecurity, and Gender Issues." Enjoy. Hey, a warm welcome to you're getting to be my friend. I don't know if you know this, Emily, but Emily Chung from Auto Niche, a family-friendly auto repairer in Markham, Ontario.
Yep, way up north. We're virtual friends, right? Like, I've never met you in the flesh, so.
And you know what? You're not far away from where I live in Buffalo. I mean, my God, I bet you we're only an hour and a half away.
I know. It probably takes me longer to cross Toronto than it does to maybe get to you with traffic and everything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So here's the deal. Before we turned on the microphone, by the way, we have this really cool episode. We'll frame it up for you here in a minute. But in the meantime, we are just about getting here as it relates to COVID here in New York State. The governor pretty much, I think, said things should be almost 90-95% normal. So everyone's excited about that. And I told that to Emily, and she goes, "We're only in phase one of..." Wow, what's going on?
Phase one is like literally like baby step phase one. It's like, you know, so no indoor dining. So this just happened on Friday, which I think was maybe the 11th of June. And so no indoor dining still, only outdoors and a set number of people outside. There's no personal services still. So everybody's hair all looks crazy still.
Well, I guess what I'm curious about, has COVID really devastated, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, Canada?
Yeah. I mean, I would say so. Like, devastated is a relative term. I don't think any of us thought that we would still be here at this time. And, you know, considering all the resources and all the knowledge and all of everything we have, you know, it's just amazing that we're still in this spot. And, it's just, you know, for business, it's a little different, in terms of the repair shops and, you know, even for us, right? Because when we first did this back in March, when this first came out, we're thinking, okay, it's a few months. And you know, here we are still sort of phase one and, you know, third wave that we were dealing with recently.
Well, I don't want to say that we're lucky and you're unlucky, but, I feel for you, and I guess I'm kind of happy that there's a lot of relief happening at this side of the border.
Just know, Carm, that when I see your Facebook posts of your, you know, outside on the patio, the waterfront and all that, it's a love-hate thing that, you know.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And there's no doubt that's how you probably feel. Emily and I are going to do something different, something that we've never done before as far as a podcast. You know, it's Father's Day this month. We're recording this in June. I've never done a Father's Day or a tribute to dad type interview or podcast. We're going to talk about what your dad taught you. And, you know, you're in the automotive field. And what did I find out? That your dad is in the distribution side, the auto parts side. And here you are, a person who never thought you were ever going to be an entrepreneur.
Never. In fact, I mean, I looked at him and what, you know, being an entrepreneur meant. And I really distinctly remember thinking to myself, you know what, I don't ever want to be opening up my own business. I don't want to be an entrepreneur at all. And then, you know, here we are, right? So yeah, so he has a national wholesale auto parts business. He started in the 90s. And he grew it, you know, from one branch and grew it across the country. So he actually now sells to the people that I buy from. So, you know, it's been interesting that it's come full circle in that respect. I don't think when I was growing up yet, he ever thought I would, you know, own a repair shop or become a mechanic or anything like that. I mean, I'm sure that that was his, you know, not at all in his radar. My parents immigrated here from Hong Kong, and they wanted me to, you know, get that university degree and all that stuff, right?
So that's what it was. They set their sights on something for you. You probably didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, you know what? They were never explicit about what they wanted me to be. I knew the expectation was there, and, you know, I knew that they wanted me to get the university degree because they didn't have that. I mean, I'm an only child, so I the pressure was on. At home, for sure. So I did that, right? I got my bachelor's degree, worked in corporate for a bit, and then I made the career change into the trade.
But the other great thing is that you continue to teach at the university level, don't you?
At the college level here.
At the college level there. And automotive courses, am I right?
Yep.
It's just so cool to see, you know, that interesting evolution. So Dad owns a parts distribution company. You buy from the jobbers that he supplies. But if you wanted to, I'm sure if you picked up the phone and said, Dad, can I buy from you? He would probably say, sure, honey, but...
I've never actually approached him with that. It's always been my commitment to purchase from the jobbers to respect the channel. I have a lot of people who are surprised when they hear that, right? Because I think the natural assumption is I'm going to buy direct from him because he's my dad, right? And for me, I just made the decision early on that, you know what, I'm going to support the people who have supported us for so long. I mean, I'm so mindful that these people are the ones who, you know, put food on our table, who got me through, you know, university and, you know, that kind of thing. So I want to just pay it back. And why would I cut them out? And at the end of the day, to my clients, right, what's really a $7, $10, $20 price difference on a brake job? I mean, they're not looking at it that way. We represent to them, you know, much more than just the pricing, right? So it's been very conscious and intentional that I don't cut them out because I want to honor their commitment to our family for so long.
So did Dad ever show you the parts business, even though you never had the glimmer that you were going to own your own shop? Did you learn anything from your dad coming up?
So when I was young, I still remember this when I was young, because, you know, I liked stickers at the time when I was like a little kid. Yeah, he thought it would be this great idea that I would put the labels on the boxes. So my father's business is Enroble. And so if anybody's up in Canada who knows the brand and, you know, those labels on the boxes way back in the day, that was, you know, that was my labor going into it. So, you know, I would do that kind of stuff with him at the shop. And so I knew what the rotors looked like. I didn't have a clue as to what they did or anything. But you know what? I do remember prior to him going into his own business, he did work for another auto parts company called Pranko. And I do remember when I was young, him bringing me into work on like the weekends when he needed to do extra work or whatever. And, you know, I would do my own thing. I would hang out in that warehouse. But then every now and again, like I still have this memory of him taking me aside and showing me these parts. And honestly, as a, you know, I don't know, I would say maybe I was five, four, I don't know, that like really young, the parts just kind of all look the same to me, right? I just wanted time with him. And so I remember him showing me the distributor cap rotor, the ignition wires coming out of it. And I remember thinking that my reference point was it looked a lot like an octopus. Like that's all that's my relevance to that thing, you know? And I still remember that even to this day. I don't think when he showed me those parts that he at all thought that this was ever going to come to the time when I would be replacing the wires myself. And
you know, when you said labels, stickers, I probably maybe closer to your dad's age, I don't know. But boy, when I was young, we were all about the STP stickers and the Bardol stickers and all the stickers we could get in our industry. And they were all over our bicycles. And in fact, I'll never forget going to school. Hey, Carm, do you have any STP stickers? And that was my quick memory. And I'm sure there's a lot of people on this listening to us right now that that have a sticker story to tell. But you said something about time with him. Any entrepreneur, and so many of the people that listen to this show, be it owners, be it technicians, anyone in the industry, we probably regret in a very big way the time that we invested in our careers and not our kids.
Yeah, when I was, I attended this one church service one time, and the pastor was talking, it was Father's Day service, and, you know, he had somebody up there, and I remember he said, you know, they're never going to remember, kids, they're never going to remember the extra hours you put into the business. They are going to remember the extra hours you put into them. And this was before I had kids. And so, you know, here I am thinking, okay, you know, I'm not going to be an entrepreneur. So, you know, and then I'll be spending some more time with my kids. And then fast forward, you know, 13 years into my own business, I'm going to be honest. Like, there's times when even I have the same regret that I really wasn't there as much for my kids as I had wanted to be when they were younger. That would be, I guess, you know, one of my regrets. I really do try to live my life without Annie. That way I'm more intentional about what I do. But you know what? This COVID situation was really a blessing in the sense that when it happened in March last year, I was, you know, blessed to have the team that I do at the shop that I could take the time off. And here in York region where I am, school actually stopped for, I can't remember, maybe a couple of weeks. There was no school. So kids were just, you know, home, no virtual learning, nothing while they were trying to adjust. And I remember, you know, spending a lot of time with my kids, and it's different, right? They're, you know, 13 and 15 now. So I don't know exactly how cool it is to spend time with mom anymore. But, you know, I just, to me, it was like a second chance for me to get that time back now. So it really was a blessing in many ways.
Coming up, Emily makes an interesting comparison to life and watching a Raptors game. You won't want to miss this. Hey, with registration now open for Apex 2021 in Las Vegas, you can already feel the excitement building for this year's homecoming. Hey, I can't wait to reconnect with all of you in person and share stories of our time apart, both personal and professional. And I also can't wait to sit in on the technical and business management training specifically for you, the service professional. Now, with more than 20 sessions that are planned, you'll hear from the best of the best, including Francisco Moreno, who will lead a session on electronification of the chassis, and Malin Newton, who will share the positive transformation that happens in the shop when excellence is a habit. Make sure to also experience the new Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage. It's designed with you in mind, and get on the show floor to see the many new products and emerging technologies. The dates again, November 2nd through the 4th, 2021. Be there. Register right now at aapexshow.com. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. Well, so many people no doubt have that kind of regret. Thank you for being so honest about it. What did your dad teach you?
Well, he taught me many things. He's the kind of dad who taught me math by playing blackjack with me. And he taught me a lot about the integrity of business. You know, he did tell me, I remember times where there's two things that really do stand out. I remember, you know, whenever he had, as we all do, right, tough customers, you know, I remember him telling me that, you know, everything is a discussion. Everything is a conversation. You know, miscommunication will always happen, and everything is a conversation. And so for me, I've carried that for sure in my own journey through life. The other thing he taught me is that, you know, when he came to Canada, this was in the 60s and he was, you know, 19. My mom is like this too. So it's not just him. Both of them have this mindset. They came in, you know, early on. And so, you know, my dad, when he started the business in the 90s, there really wasn't, and for those of you who were around that time, probably you'll remember this, there really wasn't anything in the middle in terms of brake rotors. There was, you know, the OE and then the OES, OEM, OES, we talked about this before, as well as the really, really, you know, low quality ones. But there was really nothing in the middle. And so he wanted to have the business in there. And he started with 10 brake rotor numbers and, you know, grew the business to what it is now. He never once said anything or gave me any reason about why he couldn't, you know, land a certain customer or not because of any reason about his race. You know, he was definitely a minority in the industry at the time, for sure. And he just never, he had the mindset that it was going to work out. And then he put in the hard work and dedicated that time to making it work. And never, ever did I hear him say anything about, you know, his race. My mom, same thing, never about the race or gender like that. Again, I've said this before, you know, it just was never in my vocabulary growing up. Whether I could or couldn't do something, it's not ever because of that, you know? So that definitely has passed on to me too.
That's a great story. Thank you. Hindsight's 20/20 for us. We always look back and say, sometimes woulda, coulda, shoulda, but wouldn't it be cool if we had an opportunity to know when you were young, you were going to be, you know, you can have your own shop and we be able to actually see it forward?
Yeah, there's so many times where there's things with my kids where I see and I do and I'm like, oh, that's going to come out later. And, you know, yeah, if only we had this crystal ball, right? And again, like when my dad was showing me those parts back then, I mean, you know, did he at all think that I would be in the position that I'm in now? And so sometimes I feel like life is like this. And I heard this again from my pastor and he kind of said, you know, life is a lot like a Raptors game. So we're Raptors fans, of course, up here. Life is a lot like a Raptors game in that, you know, so imagine Carm, you and I are watching a game, whatever team it is, right? And imagine every time our team, you know, takes a shot and makes it, like, we're all like happy, we're high-fiving each other. It's all a great time. You know, and then every time the other team gets a shot in, we're thinking like, oh, like the whole energy just comes down. We're probably blaming the refs. I don't know. And, you know, like the energy kind of swings back and forth like this. And so my pastor said, well, you know, it's a lot like that because we don't know the end score yet. But if you and I watch the same game, the exact same game, just a highlight reel, you know, every time our team gets it in, every time they get it in, like you won't have those crazy highs and lows. And I'm going to pitch to you that the reason is because we know that end score. So we know that, you know, every time a bucket in or a shot in is just one more data point towards the overall story, right? Towards that surety at the end that we are going to win. For me, I think that's the game of life, right? Is that it's happening live. We don't really know.
So I'm going to ask you a question because you were just saying that my mind came up and we've got all these channels where we can watch some of the old, you know, classics, if you will, sports classics and games that your town, your team has played. Do we just watch the ones that we won?
I mean, I don't. There's a lot of value in seeing the ones that we didn't win. I mean, I think you can capture that essence, that memory, right? And I think every time you see a certain game or anything that you see something new and something different too, right? And so, yeah, I personally don't watch only the ones that we win.
That is such a wise statement because we can learn something, even if we tanked as a team. I get it. If you were going to study that team and say, oh, 3 years later, they did fix that problem. They got rid of that defenseman or however the story goes. And if you could rewind your own life, your own business, your world around you and family, and don't look back at it as in a negative way, but look back in as a learning opportunity. And we should be failing forward. We should be learning like that. But I like it. Live versus playback. And I love the analogy, and I think that's a huge takeaway besides paying homage to your dad here in June, Father's Day month.
You know, as entrepreneurs, right, we spend a lot of time, a lot of hours, his business was pretty much his own kid, right? And so we just pour a lot into it. And I think sometimes for me anyways, you know, and I'm sure other entrepreneurs too, we look at it and we think, you know, was it really worth it? Was it is really what I thought it might be. And so there's a lot of time and space that we get to think about, you know, okay, well, maybe my last 13 years in business wasn't what I wanted to be in terms of that balance and in terms of time with the kids and family and whatever. You know, well, you know what? I get to choose the next 13 years, what that might be.
I love what you just said. The business was like his own kid. And I, in jest, years ago, used to tell people, yeah, I've got a wife and a mistress.
Yep.
And I said, the mistress is the business. Because I seem to be so intimate with it and spend so much time at it. And, you know, I always just thank my wife for raising the kids, because it sounds so much like the situation you're coming from. Emily Chung, Auto Niche, family-friendly auto repair, Markham, Ontario. Thanks for coming in and sharing your dad story with us.
Thank you for having me, and happy Father's Day.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.